Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. So glad to have you with us today. And finally, after what, 6-7 months of no official college basketball, the season is basically back. Indiana in action last night. And we have basketball to recap, to talk about, to break down, and to get more excited about the upcoming start to the regular season as well. And of course, in November, here in just really starting in a few days, this Indiana team with a very active schedule and some very, I don't want to say interesting games, but some opportunity games to improve and to toy with lineups and to figure out defense and a lot of things that this Indiana team is going to need to do for conference play coming up. That said, Indiana, slow start last night. Gannon actually took the lead once or twice late in the first half, right before the halftime break, but Indiana came out in the second half and did what they needed to do, and that is simply outman, outperform, and really blow out a lower-level opponent. And that's what you hope to see Indiana do not only last night but against some of the upcoming teams on their schedule, especially in the first half of November coming up here. Some of those teams are really lower-level Division I teams. But in the second half, Indiana outplayed Gannon. The defense was better. Everything just seemed to be rolling a little bit better for an undermanned Indiana team as well. We'll talk some about not only the game but about the injury problems, and we'll break it all down for you coming up here in this hour. Also, last night, if IU basketball wasn't enough for you on a Tuesday night returning, you had the World Series last night. Crazy, epic-type Game 6 of none of us have ever seen anything like this. The teams don't have success at home. They have success on the road. And now we're going to be treated to what should be a crazy Game 7 tonight. And again, I've said this. I don't talk a lot of baseball. I don't watch a ton of baseball. I like baseball. But it's been hard to not pay attention to this World Series and to watch some of those big games. And, of course, tonight, the last of the season, the big one, Game 7, and again, it should be, if it plays out to be like the rest of this series has been, it should be just an absolute great contest tonight. And it helped you get by another night without college hoops or without IU basketball, so a good sporting opportunity for you to take in. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment 1, as always, we have our Zaxby's headlines, where we bring you up with the latest in IU news and Southern Indiana sports news as well. We'll recap last night's IU game from all angles coming up. We'll talk about some of the storylines. We'll talk about top performers, things that stood out, things to improve on. Obviously, some of that exists this early in the year. And as you would expect with a somewhat young Indiana team that has some players that are trying to maybe move into new roles for this upcoming season, we'll also talk Romeo Langford for a minute. It looks like that he's not been placed or not been listed on the injury list for Boston, which means he could be eligible to play and get some minutes tonight for Boston when they take on Milwaukee. We'll talk about that in our headline segment as well. Coming up later in the program, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic will join us. Dustin was at the IU-Gannon game last night. We'll get his thoughts on the Hoosiers' victory. And, of course, you can't take a lot away from a Division II game. You can't take a lot away, honestly, from some of these early games against lower-level Division I programs. I think it's going to be maybe later in the month. I think Princeton, a couple of those teams Indiana's going to play toward the back end of the month of November. A little bit more realistic, a little bit more you can say, okay, you know, this is a team you can somewhat use as a measuring stick for Big Ten basketball or for some of the big non-conference games that happened in December. But we'll talk about what Dustin was able to take away from last night's game when he joins us in segment two. And then later in the show, segment three, we talk local sports with Craig Pearson. Craig is the sports editor of the News and Tribune. Our chat with Craig each week is presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. And there's lots to get to. We've got sectional football to talk with Craig. This is week two for all sectionals except 5A. And in 5A, of course, you've got a big game to start that sectional. New Albany and Jeffersonville rivals will play on Friday night. So we'll talk that game and all of high school football for this week. Other things as well, we had some local college players that either have begun or are in the process of officially beginning their season as well. There have been some good reports on Kobe Barnes at Floyd Central, who's at Indiana State. We'll talk about that. Sean East at UMass. The Minutemen were active last night in an exhibition game as well. Sean got some reasonable minutes in the game and is fighting for the point guard starting position, it looks like. So we'll talk some about that and other college players in the area as well. And with Craig today, hoping to get some good time with him because I want to talk about the IHSAA success factor rule. That's where a program like Providence Volleyball that has been so very good has to play up in 4A because of so much postseason success. There's a point system. I think it's every 2 years that point tally can change, go up or down, that requires them to stay ahead of class or two classes even, or drop back down one class, or in Providence's case, it would be dropping back down two classes to 2A. There's been some discussion about that. Providence had a great volleyball team, great season again. They were defeated in the 4A state tournament, the regional championship game on Saturday night. Chris Morris of the News and Tribune, who is the assistant editor and a longtime writer, covered sports in this area for many years before moving up the ranks at the paper. He had an interesting opinion column that we'll talk about with Craig, who also, of course, with the News and Tribune, he joins us a little bit later in the program today. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off of a delicious box lunch that's made to order for you at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Just a reminder, you can interact with the show. We'd love to hear from you. You can submit a comment. Maybe I'll read it on the air. You can submit a question for one of our guests as well. Two easy ways to do that. Follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills. Again, at Hoosier Hills, the username. You can tweet me there. You can send me a message there. And on Facebook, follow and like our page on Facebook. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can send us a message there. And again, it might get read on the air or used as a question for one of our guests in today's show or for an upcoming show as well. Also, let's get into our Zaxby's headlines here in this segment one, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Lots to get to. Indiana wins last night. And again, there were some sketchy moments in the first half. IU did use a big second half to crush Division II level opponent Gannon. Everybody thought Devontae Green and Robert Finnessy would both be out last night. That's basically word for word what Archie Miller said Monday in his press conference, but it ended up being Devontae Green out and Al Durham out and Robert Finnessy back, but playing pretty limited minutes last night. I think he only played 13 or 14 minutes in the game last night against Gannon. And before we talk any more about last night's game, I don't know if it's just me, but it seems Indiana has to be, if somebody kept details on this, and it's hard to do, it'd be hard to track, but Indiana has to be one of the most injured programs in the country, at least the last three, four, five seasons. It seems like to get a healthy roster, even at the very start of the season, is a difficult thing for this team. And also, I know schools have to be careful in what they say, sometime for HIPAA reasons, which is obviously understandable. Sometime maybe it's for strategy reasons. You wouldn't think that would be the case against Gannon, you know, a Division II team. But sometime they can't say a lot for one of those reasons, both of those reasons perhaps. But with Indiana, pretty closed mouth on everything, and I get that. You really can't count on a lineup for sure until they're on the floor. I mean, even a lot of times game-time decisions are made, just like Michael Penix in football the last few weeks, game-time decisions made. You see a kid warming up, a player warming up for Indiana. You You think he's healthy. You know, maybe he's had an injury, but he's out there going through the warm-ups hard. But that decision maybe hasn't fully been made, or at least hasn't been announced one way or the other, if he'll play or not. So I've just got to the point in many cases where until the game starts, until you see the starting lineup, until they're put in the game for the first time, you never just know for sure, no matter what's been said or not been said about the situation. But injury is just a crazy thing with Indiana. It seems to be something all the time. And let's hope that, I guess, this season, if you're an Indiana fan, maybe not near as bad as what other seasons have been as far as players missing, whether it's a few games or some key games or even a great part of the season, which we've seen in multiple cases here over the last couple of years. But that said, I know fans antsy in the first half, especially when Gannon went ahead a time or two late in the first half. But IU did what they needed to do in the second half. They simply took control of the game. And I also thought a big reason Indiana took control in the second half was the defense really improved. The intensity of the defense really improved, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more here in just a second. I think Justin Smith was outstanding last night. He was IU's standout performer all the way around and obviously the top scorer last night. And I think it's exciting because when you think about this team, at least when I think about this team and when I go back to some of our preseason interviews with different people like Dustin Dopierak, who's going to join us in the next segment, you know, Justin was on my list of players that could potentially help this team and that you're interested to see how they've developed, but I'm not sure that he consistently has done anything that would get you overly excited about him. I think you're excited about his potential. But consistently, has he been able to put that potential to work for this team? And I think generally the answer is no. But to see him break out last night again, we've seen him do it before, but can he play at that level? I know it's Gannon. I know it's Division II. I know it's not a Division I school. I know it's not a Big Ten conference game. But can he play at that level on a regular basis? That will be a big question mark, I think, for this team moving forward. Clearly, he's got the athleticism and the talent. Can he put it all together? 18 points, which was a team high for Indiana by Justin Smith last night. 5 of 5 shooting, 8 of 9 from the free throw line, and I'm going to talk more about free throws here in just a minute as well. 2 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block shot, but this maybe is the best of all. No turnovers, and he did all of that. He had that great pack stat line in just 20 minutes played last night, which again, no turnovers, all that done in 20 minutes, all the way around. A very, very impressive game for Justin Smith to start the year for Indiana. Let's see if he can continue that into the month of November now as well. Also, I made note last night to talk about free throw shooting. I think that may be the biggest team positive you could take from last night's game. It doesn't matter if you're playing a Division II school or you're playing Duke. Free throws are, you know, you're still up and down the floor. There's still the conditioning factor early in the year. Free throws can be measured, obviously, against any team. And last night, for a program that has struggled with free throw shooting for years now, it seems, and including in the closed scrimmage just a week and a half ago, they were 23 of 43 against Marquette, which is really awful. And then they lose by 3 points to Marquette. Obviously, that makes, you know, if that had been a regular game or a conference game or an NCAA tournament game and you lose by 3 points and you miss that many free throws, that's the first thing everybody's going to scream and holler about. But much, much better last night. 21 of 30 last night was Indiana, including some good free throw shooting down the stretch, 70% overall in the contest last night. Other highlights that I wanted to mention from last night's game, Armon Franklin. He's getting some minutes early. He got lots of minutes in the closed exhibition game against Marquette. He obviously got more minutes and got the ball in his hands a lot more than normal because of some injuries last night. 12 points, 4 turnovers, but he only had 1 turnover in the second half. He really seemed in the second half to be more confident and more comfortable with the basketball in his hand, which is obviously, I mean, he's being thrown to the wolves. There's no question about it. Even in an exhibition game, who knows, he maybe didn't expect to play until some of these injuries have occurred, at least as much as he is over the last 3 weeks or a month or so when some of these things started popping up. But a good game for him. He had 4 assists, 3 steals, and he played 27 minutes. Lots of great experience for him. This is going to help Indiana down the road, even if his minutes dwindle a bit with everybody else back healthy, which you would assume that they would. There will be a moment this season where Armon Franklin has to play a lot of minutes, 27 minutes again, maybe more. You never know with injuries and some of this early experience against Marquette and now Gannon, and good performances overall will help him and help this program not only later this season but in the future as well. And one other thing about Armond Franklin, this isn't measurable in the box score, but he has so much energy on defense. He communicates, he points, he talks. You can't hear what he's saying necessarily, but you can see that he's always moving, always doing something, and I like that, and hopefully that's contagious for this team, because defense, as Archie Miller has talked about and talked about a lot after the game last night in the press conference, it's going to be so important for this team if they're going to better some of the expectations they have this season. Also, other highlights, Trace Jackson Davis, you got to give a shout-out to some of the newcomers. 12 points, 5 of 9 from the field, 9 rebounds, 3 blocks last night for a incoming freshman, Division II or not, early season game or not, meaningless game or not, big performance from him. And you see why Archie Miller just a day or two ago, I guess on Monday, said basically if he keeps up the path that he's on, he's going to be one of the best to play here. And that's, I think, exciting for Indiana fans to hear and to see him start off this way with 12 points and almost a double-double last night against Gannon. And good to see Race Thompson. I wanted to mention him as well. He had double figures last night. He's one of those guys, when you talk about injuries, that really has never been able to get traction under his career yet early. And it's still early. He's young at Indiana. But good to see him get lots of minutes last night. Good to see him reach double figures last night. And the same for Demezi Anderson. I almost feel like maybe is this a tryout for Demezi Anderson? He didn't play a lot last year during the conference games. Got some minutes early on in the season last year. A streaky shooter at times. I think if he can become someone that can score on a regular basis from the perimeter, that he could see solid minutes this season. But he got lots of minutes last night. 10 points, 4 of 6 shooting, which is good. In fact, he was the leader as far as minutes played. He played 31 of 40 minutes for the Indiana team last night. So just a handful of guys that I thought, from my perspective, whether it was because of things in the box score, stat-wise, or energy that they brought, that deserve a mention after that game. I do want to say something about Jerome Hunter. We're all excited about him, and I probably have asked as many questions to our IU experts that we have on this show up leading up to the season as far about him as I have any other player on the team. Rough debut for him last night. I think it's worth saying that. He was 0 for 5 from the field. He had 2 points total, and he fouled out in 17 minutes of playing time. Obviously, rusty player right now is Jerome Hunter, but thankfully he's healthy enough to be back out on the floor. That is the big deal here, and if he can work that rust off, I think we will see steady improvement from him. And again, Indiana has a schedule early to mid-November that is very conducive for someone like Jerome Hunter that is trying to make a return from a severe injury that really kept him sidelined all season last year. So who knows what the minutes look like going forward for him. He got 17 last night. I would say the next time he plays 17 minutes, which could be the very next game, he'll have a little bit better stat line than what he had last night. It's going to take him some time to work the rust off and get back into some rotation. He's never been in a rotation with this team, but it's going to take some time for him to work his way back. But he has lots of potential, just needs to stay healthy, continue to get minutes, continue to get positive reports as far as health goes. And we'll see. He's going to get, obviously, improve, I think, each and every time he's out on the floor. Final headline today, Romeo Langford. Could he return tonight? Could he make his debut tonight in regular season NBA basketball? He played 21 minutes total over, I think, 5 of possible preseason games. He got to play in 2 of the 5 preseason games because of a tweak with his groin. Now he's been out since then because in those preseason games, that final one that he played at least, slipped on a wet spot on the floor and has a sore right knee, a sprained right knee. But he was not listed on the Celtics. They have their little daily injury report they tweet out. He was not listed as unavailable for tonight. In fact, our buddy Tom Westerholm of Mass Live had a story that mentioned the Celtics said he would likely be available tonight. The question is, do you throw Romeo in to some minutes, no matter, maybe depending on how the game goes, I guess, but against the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. The Bucks are one of the favorites, or at least expected to be, in the Eastern Conference this season. So what a tough debut game it would be to find minutes for someone that's not been in the rotation and someone that really hasn't gotten any preseason time to speak of and didn't play in the summer league. There's a lot of unknowns. So maybe if the Bucks blow him out, which is probably unlikely, he gets some time. But we'll see. Romeo Langford, at least it looks like, could be available tonight. And hopefully he stays healthy, whether he plays tonight, gets a couple minutes, gets 10 minutes, doesn't get any minutes, and is able to slowly build his way into a role. And this Boston team can learn about him a little bit more than what they've been able to do so far. That's the headlines presented by Zaxby's. Zaxby's is home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. And they bring us our headlines to start the show each and every day here on the program. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic will talk all about IU's basketball exhibition game last night, a blowout win thanks to a good second-half performance over Division II Gannon University. Also last night, Bellarmine. How about that? They're headed to D1 next season. They challenged Louisville basically until the final minutes of the game. I think the Cardinals went on to win by 10 points or so, but that was interesting to see last night. But we'll talk more IU with Dustin coming up next. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Segment two means we have Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic with us. We're going to talk all about IU's exhibition win last night over Division II Gannon University. Coming up later in the program as well, segment three, Craig Pearson, the sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll talk sectional football with him. We'll talk about some former area high school standouts that are also playing college basketball at other places, getting their season going as well, and more coming up later in the program with Craig. Dustin covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic, and he joins us Wednesdays to talk IU basketball. And Dustin, I know you were at the IU game last night and had a chance to see the Hoosiers up close and personal. And before we begin to break down some of the top players and performances and talk about this team moving forward, I do think it's important to note that as we watched the game last night, as Archie Miller watched and coached the game last night, there probably were some lineups out there at times in this exhibition game that you would think later on down the road, Big Ten season with everybody healthy, may not see those exact combinations during the regular season all that much.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely not. I mean, I think, or at least for, you know, for Archie's sake, you know, hopefully not. For, you know, he would certainly say that. I mean, Armon Franklin, as Archie said last night, had maybe practiced some point guard for a week and did not know one play going into the game at the one. I mean, and as Archie pointed out, Armon is a very intelligent kid, and he is. He's a super intelligent kid, great kid to talk to. But you know, he's a freshman, and you know, obviously, I imagine he's been running everything that they've got in the playbook at the two. I presume either the two or maybe even three. I don't presume they went into the season with any inkling whatsoever that he would have to be their point guard. And because they've got three guys ahead of him that should be. And basically all three of those guys have gotten hurt. Rob Finnessy was at least able to come back and play last night. But as according to Archie, he had practiced exactly once since October 4th, and that was Monday. Obviously, a lot has had to be shaken up with that group. I guess, you know, they wanted some more guard depth, didn't get it. They certainly are happy with their front court depth, but they've had to be a little light when it's come to the backcourt. And, you know, you presume that with some experienced guys, that won't be a big deal. But, you know, those guys can still get hurt, and they did. Devontae Green, Rob Finnessy, you know, Al Durham all dealing with something. And Miller said that, you know, before the game, they decided that fitness he was going to be able to play about 8 to 12 minutes. They ended up getting close to 14 out of him, so that was probably more than they expected. But all in all, just not what you expect to have to do. I mean, Demezi Anderson was the starting shooting guard. You know, as a 6'7 guy, I mean, he's got that skill set. But again, once you start dipping in, I mean, you're playing some guys at the two guard that you're not going to play at the two guard, and you're definitely playing guys at the point that you're not going to play at the point. So I think it definitely, though, was a good experience, I think, for Armon Franklin. I think he held his own. I think he did a pretty solid job. Had a few too many turnovers, but I think you saw he could make some pretty good decisions. Passed the ball well, was a willing passer, was a guy that can handle the ball out there. Likes to push the tempo a little bit, was definitely trying to get some guys in positions, trying to move in transition a little bit, trying to put some pressure on Gannon. So there were some smart things I think that he did, and it's not a position that he can't play at all, but certainly, again, you don't want to be in a position where, you know, it's your one and two are Armon and Demezi. That's not necessarily what you're shooting for with the other guys you got. You can survive it, I think, against certain lineups, I think. So that, I think, is a good sign, but certainly not what they're looking to do.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic about Indiana's win over Gannon, a Division II school, last night to begin, or at least get closer to beginning, the regular season for 2019-2020 college basketball. With Armon and with Trace Jackson Davis, specifically the freshmen on this team, the newcomers on this team to Division I basketball, I know you need to get some games under your belt. You need to see them against Division I competition, even if that is some lower level competition in the month of November, I think, to get a correct read, at least, or a likely read as to if they could help in the Big Ten portion of the season. But I think the early read on that, based on what we know from the box score and the Marquette closed scrimmage, and based on what we saw last night, is that there's reason to be excited about Trace Jackson Davis. We knew that. We knew he had potential. He's Indiana's Mr. Basketball, a McDonald's All-American, obviously somebody that comes in with the resume you would expect to have an opportunity, especially on a team like Indiana with some moving pieces to contribute as a freshman. And Armon Franklin as well. If anyone had told us he would play the number of minutes he played last night, even against the D2 team or against Marquette in a closed exhibition game, I think we would all been surprised, even knowing that there were some injuries with this team. So early takeaways on the freshmen, and again, I don't expect you to predict their ability to play against Michigan State or anything like that, but I do believe there is some real reason to be excited, not only about Trace, but about Armon moving forward and moving forward this season with those guys as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think just watching those, they're going to be players. There's no question about it. I don't think. I mean, Trace Jackson Davis in particular. There are times when he looks like Indiana's best player. I don't think that's pushing. I don't think that's really stretching it too far to say that. I mean, he's certainly, you know, in terms of size, body, athleticism, he's got it all. So, I mean, he and it's going to translate. It's not, you know, the sort of athleticism you look at and say, okay, well, you're just picking on kids. He gets up and, you know, I mean, I think the most impressive play I think I saw him make, I mean, Gannon got a steal and got out on a break. And I think it was maybe a 2-on-1 with the one being Trace. And Trace just stuffed a guy. You know, somebody came at him and he just flushed it right back at him. Rebounded really well last night. Again, obviously he's taking advantage of a size discrepancy there, and that matters. But I mean, guy can leap. You know, guy knows how to use his body, has just really a lot of comfort with the basketball. I think one issue is that he's not comfortable with his right hand, but man, he can do everything with his left. Absolutely everything. I think he gets a little bit too reliant on that. I think you saw that on one of the alley-oops, basically. I mean, it was to the right side of the bucket, and there you just got to lay it up with the right, and I think he tried to twist a little bit so he could lay it up with the left, and he ended up kind of like squeezing it out sideways and bringing it off the rim. So, I mean, that's an issue that he's got, is he's got to feel a little bit more confident with that right hand that he can at least do something with it. But he's just so skilled with the right hand. His footwork around the bucket is terrific. Just got great touch around the rim, offensively. And, you know, defensively gets after it. You know, obviously blocks some shots, rebounds. I don't feel like I got a great feel for how good of a perimeter defender he is. And certainly with the way the game is played right now, if you're going to play power forward, you have to get out there on the perimeter. And you got to be able to keep somebody from getting by you. But I mean, I didn't see any problems there. It never stuck out to me that he got out there and man, oh, call, he's in trouble. And I didn't see any of that. But he's just a really good defender around the rim. Again, really good rim protector. He's got all those pieces together. So, I mean, he's going to make an impact. I mean, really the question is he going to be all Big Ten or not? I mean, and that's a maybe, maybe not. You can't say that for sure. But I think he's going to be a guy who starts every game for Indiana. I don't think there's any question about that. I wouldn't go that far. He's going to be a rotation guy every game for Indiana, and I think he's probably their starting power forward the rest of the way. I don't look at him and say, man, this is a guy that I'm not sure if he can play. He can definitely play. You know, maybe Justin Smith makes a case that he ought to be the starting four man, or Jerome Hunter makes the case, you know, shows that he can play a few more minutes than we've seen. But right now, he's definitely the starting power forward, and someone's going to have to work hard to take that job away from him. As far as Armand's concerned, yeah, no, I mean, he looks comfortable. You know, again, obviously the guys ahead of him have more experience, you know, in Fantasy and Devontae Green at the one and the two. And, you know, I think at three, you know, Justin Smith's got a little bit more size, and you'll see where Jerome Hunter plays in there. But I think he can play any one of those top three spots. I don't think there's any question about that. And he can be a rotation guy. I think you can get at least, you know, 15 minutes a game out of him. And if you have to play him 30, he's shown that you can play him 30. You know, again, like, will he be better than some of the guys he's going to face against Michigan State? You know, probably not, but he can do all kinds of things. He can rebound for his position. He can pass the ball. He can shoot it. He can defend. Really gets after on defense. I think compliment I kept seeing from him from fans on Twitter was just active hands. And you really saw that. I mean, his hands were all over the place and all over guys. And, you know, again, guy with a lot of endurance, you know, can play, you know, can give you 30 minutes, you know, can play for, like, you don't have to worry about taking him off. He's going to keep getting after it and not fall off. So, I mean, there's just a lot of things that he can do, a lot of things that he brings to the table. You know, he's not probably unseating Devontae Green as your starting shooting guard, you know, not taking the point guard job away from Rob Phinisee, but I think he can play up behind either one of those guys, can play some three, can defend a couple positions up there, you know, in the backcourt and do a lot of things for you. He's definitely a guy that's grown physically stronger, seeing more athleticism from him. He was a guy that was concerned about his personal leaping ability, didn't feel like it was up to snuff at the start of his season last year at Cathedral. Seems like he's improved on that, just has come a long way as a player, and just it looks like he's definitely ready to at least be a rotation guy for this Indiana team.
That's Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. We're talking IU basketball, last night's exhibition win over Gannon. We got to talk about Justin Smith as well. He was IU's team high scorer with 18 points and had a really nice stat line, 5 of 5 shooting, 8 of 9 from the free throw line, where IU struggled in the closed scrimmage against Marquette. That was positive to see. 2 rebounds, 2 steals, a block shot, and maybe most impressively, no turnovers, and he did all that in 20 minutes. We have seen this before from Justin Smith. We know he is talented. We know he is an athlete. He's teased IU fans with big performances throughout his career a handful of times. I think the key with him is can there be any consistency to any of this? But he definitely had a opener last night that would make you wonder what he will challenge for starting-wise this season.
No, absolutely. I think I just did a big piece on Justin last week, and came out of that sort of the word isn't concerned because it's not no skin off my nose either way, but, you know, thinking, all right, are he and the coaching staff on the same page? Because obviously I think he went into this offseason really trying to improve his three-point shot, really trying to improve his perimeter handle, and really looking kind of to expand his game. And I talked to Bruce Flint, and he was like, you know, we just want him to think what gets me in the best position to help my team, what makes me most effective offensively, and how do I do that the best and not settle for threes. And you sort of wondered, okay, is Justin looking at this as I'm going to try to push this and show off and show what all I'm capable of, when the coaching staff really wants him just to do what's there and take what's available and not try to force anything. And it seemed like from those two sort of vantage points of looking at what Justin Smith's game should be, the coaching staff won out, and it worked out basically. I mean, he didn't do anything that was outside of himself, didn't do anything that was outside of the offense. I mean, he handles the ball on the perimeter. If he's on the three the way the offense works, he's got to be out there on the three-point line with the ball, you know, at least dribbling it and passing it and all that sort of thing. But he didn't look to shoot from out there. He didn't try to force anything. He kept moving in the flow of the offense and waited for the ball to find him in a more advantageous situation where he could make a play, where he was maybe a little bit closer to the basket. And again, you know, was really disciplined about that, about not forcing anything, you know, didn't try to handle it too much, didn't try to push too much with the basketball, but did handle it well when he had to. Basically, when it's part of the offense for him to dribble out there, he managed to keep that in line pretty well. Passed it decently well. Had a couple passes that were didn't look great, but you know, got to their target at least. And had a couple that were really sharp. Ended up with three assists outside of zero turnovers, and that is a huge turn if you look at his assist to turnover ratio the last 2 years. It's like 1-3. I think he's at like 35-99. Assist to turnovers going into his junior year, and that is not a good figure at all, obviously. But he was sharp with the basketball. I thought he made one really good pass. He was posted up and whipped it out for a three. I think it was to Fantasy, or maybe it was Demezi. I can't remember who hit it, but one way or another, he got down on the low block, took a defender down there, and then whipped out a pass out to the elbow. And that guy knocked down a three off of that pass. So you saw him looking for ways to move the basketball and just being smart. And that's what he said at the end. He said, "I didn't force it. I let the offense come to me. I just took what was in the flow." And that's big. Again, if he can just play, again, he's a highly analytical guy. He thinks a lot, and a lot gets into his mind. I imagine it's not just, okay, what's the right play to do here? It's, what do I need to show? What do I need to prove? And maybe even thinking about, okay, what does the next level need to see? It's like, no, just make the play. And I think he showed much more of an ability to do that last night. Just make the play that is in front of him. Take the shot that shows up. Take advantage of what you have. And in that case, he had more length, size, athleticism, can get up higher, all these guys that are defending him, for Gannon, and hit some shots that work that way. He hit a turnaround hook. Hit a mid-range jumper, got going in transition, was tough to deal with, showed a lot better feel at the free throw line. His first foul shot, you looked at and said, oh, okay, here we go again, because he was way off. But after that, a lot of touch, settled down, was able to sit down and just, make those free throws. Ended up being 8 out of 9 after missing the first one pretty badly. So all of those are good signs for Justin Smith in the way that he's approaching this season.
Talking to Dustin Dopierak, who is always with us Wednesdays. We'll have him all season long to talk IU basketball each Wednesday on the Hoosier Report. Got to talk some with you about defense. I thought Archie Miller spent some time talking about it as well in his post-game press conference last night. Clearly, with an Indiana team where there are some unknown, there are some newcomers, there are some changes because of graduation with who are the big scorers and the main scoring threats for this team. Defense can be one of the aspects where this team can outwork other teams and can maybe improve its standing in the Big Ten Conference as opposed to where they've been predicted by a lot of the preseason publications out there. Your early take on defense with this team. I know, again, we have to keep in mind it's a Division II school. It's an exhibition game. And you almost have to keep that same thought somewhat in mind in the month of November, especially early on as well. The team's going to be playing lower-level Division I opponents that in times won't at all mirror what they're going to see in conference play or in the month of December when they have some of the big non-conference games. But clearly, Coach Miller believes defense is going to be key for this team if they are going to have some big success this season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you're not going to know if this is a good defensive team at all until December 3rd when they play Florida State. That's the first time you're going to have a clue, because they're going to take advantage of people with their length. So you're going to look out and see, when they're going to be able to go 6'7", 6'8", 6'11", from 3 to 5, with guys that with real long arms that they're going to get after you, and athleticism and everything like that. That's going to just overpower some people, basically, in the month of November. They're not going to see a lot of teams that are going to have the length they have. So they're going to get a lot of turnovers. They're going to be able to really suffocate some teams. And there's going to be, I don't want to go so far as to call it fool's gold, but there's going to be a little bit of that. You're definitely going to not, people are going to talk big about how good the Indiana defense is when it has not played anybody and hasn't seen any real scores, because they're going to turn a lot of defense into offense again, probably create a lot of turnovers, and really harass some people just because they can against the teams they're going to be playing. And then you're not going to find out until, they face some real scores, guys that can break them down off the dribble. What they're capable of, and guys that can match their length. I mean, Florida State, I know they lost some big guys, but, Florida State puts together teams with a ton of length, and they'll certainly be able to match that even with what's left when Terrence Mann and Kabangele and Kamuja and all those guys have moved on. So that you're going to see a lot in that game. But point of the matter, they look good. And again, their length is going to allow them to hang long term. I mean, it's just a question of, okay, how good are they defensively, really? Like, how smart are they defensively? You know, how much do they know how to keep guys in front of them that they can really, you know, move side to side and are really tough to guard laterally? Is going to be an interesting question in the long term. But you at least saw that they get after it. You at least saw that they care about it. It matters to them that defensively doing the right thing defensively, and they were mostly able to shut Gannon down. You know, there were a couple stretches where I thought they got a little bit lazy towards the end of the first half, got broken down a little bit, you know, let them go on some blow-bys. And again, some of that is, you know, facing smaller guys that can cross up bigger dudes, and a couple of those guys were able to do that. I think, you know, and again, there's still, you can still see that especially the younger guys are getting trapped a little bit. I thought Franklin, as hard as he was playing, did keep getting trapped up on screens on a lot of occasions, especially when he had to, you know, follow somebody into the paint and then follow back out. Was getting trapped on screens a couple of times and having a hard time getting the closeouts because he was running into a body and not sort of seeing that coming, or somebody didn't call it out for him one way or another. He was having a hard time getting through bodies when he had to run through traffic. So that I think was an issue that obviously they've got to be able to work on. And, you know, so just sort of all of that piece, but they're going to have length. They're going to have athleticism. I think, again, they're going to be able to guard the post with Brunken Davis. They'll be able to match up, you know, with big bodies in there. I think Trace Jackson Davis, again, is going to be able to protect the rim. He's going to be able to get you know, get up and down, you know, again, swat some shots, be able to come from the weak side and do some things well there. You'll see basically long term if he's able to really guard the four well and, again, step out on the perimeter. But, again, the shot blocking, obviously, is a pretty big tool. And again, you'll find out, you're not going to know yet until what they could do with the one and the two. But, you know, Finney and Green are traditionally pretty good defenders. You know, you've seen in the past those guys have been able to get after, you know, people like really, you know, guys that can really score from the perimeter. They've been able to stick with them and do a pretty good job. I thought Finney did a terrific job on point guard. So it seems like they have all the tools. It seems like they have all the pieces they need. Obviously, they got to get to the point where they're really cohesive defensively. Again, the good thing is that they care, but there's sort of next steps to be taken to find out whether they're a really good defensive team. But like Archie Miller said, I think they really need to be if they're going to you know, really contend in the Big Ten. If they're going to, you know, be a for sure at large team, you know, and basically get in there comfortably, that means they're going to have to be, like Archie said, I think, an elite defensive team. Because offensively, I mean, there are some tools and some weapons, but ultimately you're losing your two best scorers from last year. I still don't expect this to be a really good 3-point shooting team. It might be better. It might be smarter. I think this team moves around a lot more and that's going to make them better, but I still don't think they're not loaded with offensive weapons. So they're going to need to defend some people.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic with us as we recap IU basketball's victory last night over Gannon. Lots of action. It starts to come fast and furious now as we get into the month of November, and before you know it, it'll be Big Ten games in December and some big, big non-conference games for this IU team. And Dustin, we look forward each week to having you with us. Always great to talk IU basketball with you here on the Hoosier Report.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right, coming up in the next segment, Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, joins us. That segment presented by the Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. We're going to talk local sports, high school football sectionals. Lots of stuff coming up. Stay with us for a local sports chat after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
It's a busy, busy time of the year, including locally in our sports scene as well. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. He's always in studio with me on Wednesdays. This segment is brought to you by the Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your specific needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. That includes screen printing, embroidery, or fully sublimated uniforms. Whatever you need, let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. You can visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. That's mlshirtco.com. Craig, let's jump right in with a quick look at all of Friday's football games. We have, let's see here, what, five teams left of eight that play football in the area. New Albany and Jeff in 5A get going after an off week. They're going to play each other. New Albany 4-5. Jeffersonville 3-6. Both teams had some positive moments in the final 3-4 weeks of the regular season, and could be a different result. I don't know that I would say New Albany will win right now or be bold enough to predict that after Jeff won the regular season matchup. But what I will say is I think it'll be a little more close and a little more competitive down the stretch than maybe what that regular season meetup was.
Right, yeah, 32-13 was the last meeting, and yeah, Jeff just kind of, you know, dominated's a little strong, but they certainly controlled the ball game, and you know, Jeffersonville's coming off of, like you said, both teams played really well the last few weeks. Jeff was unable to finish off Bedford North Lawrence, though, unfortunately for them, and a game they probably should have held on to. I would think they're you know, lamenting some things about that ball game, but hopefully they learned some things, and you know, it should be a great ball game. Absolutely. I mean, the New Albany offense has really picked up steam. The running game, Miles Johnson's good for 100 yards every week, it seems, and that really kind of gives them a nice base to work with, and the quarterback play's been pretty strong as well. So just should be a great ball game.
Staying with 5A football locally, Floyd Central, the favorite in that sectional at 7-2. They host Bedford North Lawrence, who beat Jeff in the final week of the regular season. Bedford is just 3-6, though, on the season. But when Bedford and Floyd hooked up a few weeks ago, back, I think, what, week 8 or 9 of the regular season, I'll tell you what, Bedford gave Floyd a very tough matchup. It was, a 9-point game?
Yeah, and then that was the night when we got a, you know, some torrential rains, and the turf over there was pretty wet. You know, it's obviously a factor for both teams, but I think Bedford's, you know, option offense and that sort of thing gave Floyd some trouble. So, yeah, I mean, and obviously Bedford's playing pretty well of late, so you can't just look at their 3-6 record and say they don't have a chance. So that's been a program that's been pretty strong. So they may be just kind of hitting their stride and had some. They had a lot of guys to replace, I believe. So, yeah, they're playing pretty well. But I got to think Floyd is able to pull this one out and get into that sectional championship, which should be a lot of fun.
That will be an all-local championship game. It'll either be New Albany Floyd or Jeff Floyd. If the prediction of Floyd winning holds true, and I agree, I think they will win, and I think they can be classified as the favorite in that sectional to advance to a regional. Let's take a look at Charlestown, 8-2, at Lawrenceburg, 9-1. Craig, if you beat an undefeated team in the exciting fashion that Charlestown did, you'd like to say, okay, we get a little reprieve the next week in our sectional. But instead, after knocking off Brownstown, who was undefeated in the regular season, the Pirates now take on 9-1 Lawrenceburg. If Charlestown can win this Friday, they have won 8 in a row heading into this week. That would be 9 in a row. They might be a team hot enough to pull it off, but what a back-to-back week of challenges that this sectional has posed for Charlestown so far.
Right. I mean, like you said, Lawrenceburg is not quite on Brownstown's level as far as the richness of the program in recent years, but they're pretty darn good. You know, their last 9 years are 75-30, and they're doing very well this year, obviously, at 9-1, and I think Charlestown's got a tough task ahead of it, and it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I think you got to like the Pirates' momentum and confidence right now. So, you know, going on the road, can they get it done? I think so.
Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. If you're looking to raise money for your team or event, let the Major League Shirt Company's online fan stores work for you. You can outfit your fans and raise money with very little effort. They even do all of the sorting. All you've got to do is cash the check. Find out more at Major League Shirt Company's website. That's mlshirtco.com. Craig, Providence at Eastern, Pioneers 4-6, got past a much improved Clarksville team. They have an opportunity to get to the sectional championship because they are at Eastern Pekin, who has a 1-9 record. That's right, Eastern's first and only win of the season came last week in sectional play.
I think we can chalk up a win for the Pioneers, and I think they're trying to get healthy, and you know, they weren't at 100% last week against Clarksville, and we're still able to grind it out and pull out the W. So you got to like their chances here for sure. But yeah, they'll have a tough task ahead. Triton Central will be the somewhat strong favorite at Paoli, and you know, they're going to be tough to beat, 7-3, and have had a really strong year.
Craig, we have a few minutes left, and I want to talk about a very interesting topic about the success factor of this IHSA that's out. And, of course, Providence volleyball has been affected by this. People say, wait a second, I heard you say Providence was playing in the 4A sectional with New Albany, Jeff, and Floyd Central. How does that work? Well, it hasn't happened as much in the area with basketball. It's happened with Providence baseball. It's happened with Christian Academy of Indiana volleyball and, of course, Providence volleyball as well. But every 2 years, there's a point system kept. And once you win a sectional and move on from there to the regional, to the semi-state and the state finals, and maybe even win a state championship, there are points awarded with each round of play, with each successful step forward. And Providence volleyball, with all of the success they've had, not only did they move forward to Class 3A, but they also have bumped ahead in recent seasons to the very top class, Class 4A. And, of course, you see a very, very, very good Providence team in 4A go out Saturday night to a solid Center Grove team. Center Grove, obviously a big school, south side of Indianapolis. But your thoughts on that? Chris Morris had an interesting opinion column on it in the News and Tribune. I've been asked about it recently with some of the volleyball teams that had to play up. Your thoughts, and maybe a little bit general, on the success factor and how it works in Indiana.
Sure. I think, you know, Providence is certainly an example. Christian Academy is another that's playing up at 3A, you know, after they had Allie Stumler, one of the top players in the country, for a few years there. So, you know, Chris uses the word Providence as being punished, you know, I suppose, you know, in the sense that, yes, they're not able to have an easier route to a state championship. I suppose that's true. But, you know, because I think maybe they somewhat, if they were at 2A, they probably breezed to a 2A title, although Bar Reeves pretty solid at 2A. And, you know, I think at maybe 3A is the happy medium where they belong, but 4A, you know, you can't really argue with it either. They played, you know, nationally ranked teams such as Mercy and Louisville and won in four sets. They did lose to, you know, number one ranked nationally Newcastle and in straight sets, but you know, they play a very tough schedule to prepare for this 4A tournament, and I feel like maybe they are sort of where they belong because of the strength of the program that Coach Parika has built. You know, they've got the feeder system, et cetera. They deserve credit for doing all of that, and, you know, I think their kids prepare for what's ahead. They know what's in store, and maybe those players benefit in a way, too. You know, they're playing to prepare. Some of those girls are preparing to play for college, to play Division One volleyball. You know, and sure. Center Grove had four Division One recruits. Providence has at least three. So it was a pretty even matchup. You know, which is crazy when, like you said, Center Grove is one of the five biggest schools in the state, basically, and Providence is one of the smaller 2A. So it's interesting matchup in that. But you know, when you only got six players on the court, and they're all similar to basketball, right? I mean, a small school can compete, and at times, if you got five great players, but I don't know. They've tried to tweak the success factor, and you know, the tweak they made was to make it a little bit easier to stay at once you've moved up. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'd be curious to talk with like Bobby Cox at the IHSA and see how they gauge its effectiveness and that sort of thing, and see where they're at.
And it'd be really interesting to talk to some of the coaches, especially locally, that have been affected by the success factor. I have a feeling that we could probably do for those that are interested or affected by this, and fan bases that maybe are affected with it or unhappy with it. We could probably do a whole show on this success factor formula. And of course, it's worth noting that Silver Creek basketball, and, of course, Silver Creek's a growing school as well, but likely one day they could be 4A because of population. True. But it's worth noting that Silver Creek, with more success in the state tournament, could bump up to 4A, which is a real possibility given some of the players they have back. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, thanks for being with us. This segment presented by Major League Shirt Company. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thank you.
And that's going to wrap it up. I'm back with you Thursday. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, our guest. Lee Kelly's in studio with me tomorrow also. I'll talk to you then. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.